Lowe's knows how to get you ready for holiday hosting with up to 35% off select home decor. And get up to 35% off select major appliances. Plus, members get free delivery, haulaway, basic installation, parts, and a 2-year Lowe's protection plan when you spend $2,500 or more on select LG major appliances. Valid through 10-1. Member offer excludes Massachusetts, Maryland, Wisconsin, New Jersey, and Florida. Installed by independent contractors. Exclusions apply. See Lowe's.com for more details.
Hello, and welcome to today's episode of Money Talk. Let's talk about being smart, and smart goals, that is. I am sure some of you have heard of this acronym before, but let's talk about it some more today. It comes up every time this time of year. And in today's episode, we're going to break down smart goals, as well as give you some steps to help you train towards hitting your goals. Let's get into today's episode.
You know, we don't talk about money enough. It is a topic that just gets ignored for some reason, even though it plays a role in everyone's day-to-day life. Well, this is the issue that brought Money Talk to reality. I know you're probably too busy and don't have the time to research and learn about all the things that go into personal finance, but that is where this podcast, Money Talk, comes into play. I'm your host, Skylar Fleming, and I'm here to do the research and learn all the extra stuff about personal finance for you. The goal is to simply get us talking about money. So let's get talking.
So let's start with SMART goals. Let's start by breaking down SMART goals. Well, what are they? Well, specifically, it stands for specific, measurable, achievable, relevant, and time-bound or timely. And these goals can help you really formulate a good goal to meet your objectives. So let's go over how to use these specific things. So specific means that you need to be very clear. And you should probably answer the 5 W's with specific. So what do you want to accomplish? Why is the goal important? Who is involved? Where is it located? And which resources are involved? So let's think about it. Let's formulate the goal to help meet these points. Measurable means you need to have something you're basing your goal off of. Achievable means that it needs to be something that you can actually do. Relevant means it needs to be applicable to your life, and timely means there needs to be a timeline on it. When are you going to actually accomplish this goal? Now, how can SMART goals help? SMART goals can help you by giving you a good framework to start building your goals around if you kind of struggle with setting realistic goals. Use the SMART goal framework to really help you get started. And all 5 aspects are important because if it wasn't attainable, it would just be a SMART goal. Or if it wasn't timely or it didn't have a time component to it, it would just be a SMART goal. And those just don't sound as good, right? But realistically, if you're missing one of those components, you may never achieve your goal because you don't have a time frame that you're trying to do it on, or it's not actually relevant to you. So if you're already in good shape physically and very athletic, losing 50 pounds in the next 6 months is not relevant to you or attainable because it just wouldn't be healthy. But as you can see, financially, if you're doing really well for yourself financially and don't have any debt, the goal to get out of debt within the next year, that's just like, why would you do that? Or if you're in a crazy amount of debt, it may not be realistic for you to get out of that in a year. So you need to make sure to look at what you're actually doing before you just go crazy for these goals and make sure they're specific, measurable, attainable, relevant, and timely. Next, let's talk about this idea that I heard last year about training versus trying. So let's talk about training versus trying. Well, trying involves just taking shots and it can feel very empty. If you're saying I'm trying to get out of debt, then like, what does that really mean? Are you just continually going through the motions, maybe making an extra payment here or there? You're just trying to get out of debt. Now let's talk about training. Training involves little steps and working towards something. Think about it in its most relevant manner with training for a marathon or something like that. Training for a marathon doesn't mean going out and just trying to run a whole marathon. That would be unrealistic. Similar to getting out of debt. You can't just try to get out of debt. It takes little small steps. There's more to it than just running the marathon. There's more to it than just getting out of debt. If you're training for a run, it starts with small steps. It starts with going for a quarter mile run, then a half mile, then a mile, then seeing how long you can run and stopping when you're done running. And then just a whole bunch of different steps. Since we're relating this to getting out of debt, it starts with How much money do you have? How much money are you spending every single month? How much money are you able to save every single month? How much could you increase your income? Those are training steps that help you get out of debt faster. And think about other situations in your personal finances. Let's think about one like saving for college. Well, you could say, I'm trying to save for college, but what does that actually mean? You're probably not going to have any money once it's actually time to pay for college. But if you're training to save for college, that means working an extra shift to pick up a little extra money that you're going to dedicate solely towards paying for college later down the road. Or it means not going out to eat because you're training to pay for college, which means you won't be able to go out to eat while you're paying for college because it can be quite expensive. I hope that mindset shift can help you when you think about what you want to try to do. Think about training for it instead. And that also goes back to a previous episode where I talked about the 1% and like small and simple things in your personal finances and how those can really help you make bigger, more exponential gains towards your personal finances. Next, let's talk about 1% better. I'm going to talk about it in this episode as well, and how you can compound your growth, like you can compound interest in your investments and things like that. So let's talk about 1% better. So let's talk about the 1% and talk about it in your personal finances. Well, a term you'll commonly hear is called the aggregation of marginal gains. And marginal gains being those 1% small things you can do. Like I talked about, that means not going out to eat. That's a marginal gain because you're only going to save, if you're not going out to eat that much, maybe $20 to $30 a month. If you're going out to eat a lot, it could be a lot more. But that's a small step towards what it actually takes to pay for college in that example we were using earlier. And the aggregation of marginal gains is just the compounding ability of all those things working together, of not going out to eat, of driving less so that you don't spend as much money on gas, those other things like using the library for audiobooks instead of your audiobook subscription, and using free YouTube videos instead of paying for a million different TV subscriptions. Those sort of things can really help compound, and the 1% and aggregation of marginal gains can also be referred to as a compound interest in your own life. And that can really help you grow and grow quickly towards those goals that you want to get. So it's in a similar vein of training versus trying, of identifying those small 1% things you can do in your personal finances to really help yourself get better. And a lot of this comes from the book called Atomic Habits, which is a wonderful book. I just finished listening to it about a month ago. Highly recommend it for anybody who's looking to really solidify this mindset shift. It talks about the story of the British biking team and their aggregation or marginal gains story. And it's a really great book that teaches a lot of great principles about small and simple things leading to great things. So next, let's talk about taking your training steps and turning them into a plan. Okay, now let's take those training steps that you thought of and turn them into a plan. So when you break things down again and down again and down and break them into smaller and smaller pieces, that's when you begin to build a plan. So you can use SMART to set the goal and then break it down into each piece into an action or training step. Let's go through an example. So my goal is I want to save $10,000 in 1 year. This has all of those SMART components, and make sure that you make the money that that's actually possible. But let's break down $10,000 by how many months? 10,000 divided by 12 months is about $833 a month. If you get paid about twice a month, it's about $400 a paycheck. Probably want to give it a little bit more than that, obviously. Comes around to about $225 a week or so. And how can you get to that number and make it possible? That's breaking it down step by step. That's now beginning to look at your expenses and say, hey, I actually spend this much a week on this. Like, can we get rid of that? Probably. Like, you think people can live on less than they realize. And if you make it automatic, you're more likely to see those things become a lot easier because you don't even realize they're happening. And then you just suddenly start living on the amount that you didn't think was possible because it automatically happened. So take your plan, break it down into some steps, break it down into smaller and smaller regular things that you can make automatic, like turning $10,000 in a year into about $225 a week. I mean, that's still a lot of money. That's why I said make sure you make enough money to make sure that's possible. That's part of that. That's part of the relevant and attainable or achievable portions of SMART goals, is making sure that you can actually do it. Because I don't know if I would be able right now to save $10,000 in 1 year, and that's okay. It's a matter of finding a goal that's actually achievable for you and then breaking it down and turning it into a plan. So let's go over some questions about goal setting next. Okay, so let's go over some questions. I got two main ones that I think are very important when it comes to setting financial goals. The first question says that you have limited or no time to research investment options. So the question you'd be asking is, how in the world am I supposed to figure out what to invest in? Where am I supposed to put my money? That's the kind of question that would relate to this subject. And the thing is if you don't have enough time, keep it simple. And that's partially what this podcast is for, is that I understand people don't really have the time to put in to learning about personal finance like I enjoy doing. And that's why I am striving to just put my knowledge out there so that it's easier for people to consume and that I can do the research for them and begin to point them in the right direction. So if you don't have enough time to figure out where to put your money, just listen to podcasts. Keep it simple. Index funds are a great place to start researching if you want something simple and almost a one-stop shop for your investing. It's a great place to start. If you're like, I know I need to put money somewhere, you probably want to look into index funds. And then the next question that you could be asking yourself about financial goal setting is, who do I listen to? Do I listen to the Money Guy Show, the Stacking Benjamins podcast, How to Money, Dave Ramsey? There's a lot of financial voices out there. Graham Stephan on YouTube. Do I listen to my bank, what they tell me? Are they just trying to make money off me? Are all these people just trying to make money off me with their podcast, just trying to get me to buy stuff from them? So there's a lot of concern out there that you really need to consider. And my approach to that is listen to a lot of people. If there's a subject you want to find out more on, like 529s or investing or I-bonds, listen to or look up a lot of voices on the subject. Now, I know you might not have time. That was the issue in the first question. But if you really want to know, you're going to have to put in some amount of time. You're going to have to make a bit of a sacrifice so that you fully know until you find one person that you trust for all of your information, or maybe one or two podcasts that you listen to every week to get your financial information. And a lot of my financial information comes from knowledge from other podcasts, from working in the financial sphere, and from doing my own financial coaching. So I hope that I can provide a professional opinion and some guidance and be a guiding voice on helping you do some of your own research, as well as helping guide you in the correct direction to continue doing some research in the future. So if you're struggling to find the right advice from the right people, just, you're probably going to have to listen to multiple voices until you find one that you really trust. So next, let's talk about accountability in your goals. So accountability with your financial goals is crucial. You need to find somebody who you can share your training steps with and let them know your plan and ask them to help you stay accountable. And set reminders of things that will force you to stay accountable. Maybe a punishment or reward system based on those training steps that you share with your accountability partner. Maybe write all this stuff down and say, hey, I'm going to sign this and I give you permission to sign it and keep me strictly accountable to these goals that are written down here. Whether it's we can no longer go out to eat if I don't achieve this goal, we have to wait at least 6 months before we can go out to eat again because that's something you really enjoy, then take that away from yourself. That might be something you have to do to make it easier on yourself to make sure you stick to your financial goals. And accountability is something, like I said, it's absolutely crucial. So find somebody you trust that you can rely on to help keep you accountable to your goals. And you don't have to punish yourselves in big ways, but also don't give yourself the biggest rewards that are kind of blowing the success out of proportion. Obviously, it's important to hit your goals and to celebrate those things when you do hit your goals, but don't make it so that you get to go spend hundreds and hundreds of dollars on something because you hit a goal that spending the hundreds and hundreds of dollars would go against. Make sure your rewards and punishments or whatever you want to do are in good line. Bounce them off with the accountability partner you selected and see what they think about them. Maybe they have a better idea of something that you really enjoy that they think would motivate you a lot to help you keep accountable to your financial goals. So next, let's talk about a financial goal of Rebecca and I's so that you can begin to see how this applies in someone's real day-to-day life. So let's talk about a real financial goal. And let's talk about Rebecca and I's financial goal. So what are you trying to achieve financially? I'd love to share some examples of other people's goals on the show, and I'd love to help you in any way that I can. Please send an email to moneytalk.ffc@gmail.com, and I'll give some advice or share some insight that I have towards helping you achieve your financial goals, as well as help people understand some of the other types of goals people are trying to achieve. Right now, Rebecca and I are trying to save for her PA, which is physician assistant. It's a graduate school program. And some of the things we're looking at, which is these training steps, is where do we save our money? And we've thought about 529s, I-bonds. What's our timeline? Well, it's 1 year possibly. She could get in next year. It could be 2-3 years. Who knows? But we got to consider that when it comes to investing, which is like, do we want to invest the money or do we want to just keep it in a simple savings account because we might need the money sooner than we think? Where do we save it? Simple account, 529, taxable brokerage account, a Roth IRA with intentions to pull it out. That doesn't seem quite right. There's a lot of things to consider, but we have to break it down into small steps. And the first small step that we have is, well, how much are we going to put aside each month? And right now that might be like $1,000 towards PA school. That's where we have to start, is to consider how much we actually are going to put away. So let's wrap up today's episode with my thoughts and conclusions about financial goals. So my thoughts and conclusions. Having a goal is crucial so that you're not just wandering through the winds and the wilderness of personal finance. You got to have a goal. Whether it's something simple just for the next month while you think about another goal, then do that. There's so much information and news thrown at us. How do we know what to do? How do we know to stay in line with our personal finance? Well, for me, and what I would recommend is don't listen to, I would say the mainstream financial news. So those common news websites that you read about online, the main big companies that are just trying to throw out, invest in this, sell this, do this, do this, just so that you'll come to their site and they get advertising dollars off of you. So be careful where you're going and make sure you're not taking news from the wrong sources. Honestly, there's a lot of free financial podcasts out there that are great. Let me give some of my recommendations again. How to Money, The Money Guy Show. Dave Ramsey's great if you're in debt. There's another one called The Stacking Benjamins Show. There's Money for the Rest of Us. There's quite a few out there. And then, of course, there's this podcast. And I'm always trying to give you free, good information that'll help you. And small steps are way easier and better than large attempts, because those attempts, you're probably not going to be successful, unfortunately. Like I said, we could try to save $80,000 for Rebecca's PA school, or we can say, hey, we can save $1,000 this month. And maybe by the end, we don't quite have the 80,000, but we're a heck of a lot closer if our goal is just this big balloon of $80,000 that we never quite reached. But thank you for listening to this week's episode of Money Talk. That's going to wrap up our episode about setting financial goals. I hope you learned some tactics and ideas about how to achieve your goals. Thank you for listening and sharing your questions and financial wins with me. This week's financial win of the week is a story that Rebecca has, where she doesn't have to use any PTO, but she's going to be out for a whole week because she is sick. And why doesn't she have to use PTO? Well, it's because we budget based on last month's income, and it's not going to impact our budget at all because we already have the money that we're going to budget based off of. We easily have enough money to cover our bills. Honestly, most of our budgeting is just saying, hey, where do we want all this extra money to go? Where do we want to save it towards, etc. So when she has to take a week off work, she told her work, hey, I don't want to use any PTO for this week. Also, she got 3 paychecks in December, so we're going to just put one of those in January. It'll be fine. That'll make it a whole lot easier. So that's one financial win of the week that I know, when you try to budget and budget based off last month's income, is possible for anybody. So thank you for listening to this week's episode of Money Talk. I'm your host, Skylar Fleming. I hope you have a great week.
Thank you for listening to Money Talk. The Money Talk show is provided for informational purposes and should not be used for personal or specific financial advice. Every situation is unique and different. Please make sure to do your own research for your personal financial situation.